welcome to It's About Youth. I'm Soraya Mia. Now, the 15th general elections is just around the corner. And if you were to log on to Twitter now, you would see that it's clear politicians and political parties have started their battling in the cyberspace. Now, with the implementation of Undi 18 and young voters being the possible kingmakers of GE15, it's clear that campaigning is highly dependent on the social media and the cyberspace. But with abundant information out there, how do youths actually form opinions and make informed decisions while they lack the proper understanding of political literacy? Now, parliamentary consultant Maha Balakrishnan, hello, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. She will be explaining more deeply about political literacy as well as how it could possibly be expanded in education institutions. Now, Maha, in the previous episode that you were on with us on It's About Youth, you explained the importance of political literacy. But as much as we reiterate the importance of political literacy, there is still a big group of young people who don't know and don't care about politics. How do we engage and how do we reach out to this group?
I think how we do it really is by giving them an understanding of the importance of political literacy, not simply for their daily lives, not simply for their ability to exercise their right to vote responsibly, not even for their ability to participate in society and in social awareness programs, but more so because I think more so than any other generation that came before, today's generation has a responsibility, unfortunately, to protect future generations because of all the changes that we're seeing happen currently. The evolution of everything is happening at an accelerated pace. If we look at the economy, the concept and the idea of work has changed. The labour market is changing. There are industries that are becoming obsolete because of automation and the cost of living issues, the way in which we value goods and services and utilities is changing. But policies have not kept up with this. And hovering over all of this is the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. Right? That is going to affect all of us, and that is going to change how we view governance, how we view policies across different sectors. And what that means for today's generations is this, that the idea of fundamental liberties and rights is going to change dramatically. The rights that we valued as important in previous generations is going to change in future generations. A clear example, never before have we considered the idea of food security or of the right to clean water as something which ought to be a core fundamental value. But in the future, it is going to become so. In countries like Bolivia and Ecuador, the constitutions now recognize rights of nature. In other words, that nature too has rights. So these are all issues which we will have to grapple with today in order to protect them tomorrow. So when it comes to political issues like this, when it comes to political literacy, when it comes to even the elections today, these are factors that the youth of today must consider. They must take that on board when they exercise their right to vote, when they assess the different policies and election manifestos that that political parties put forward.
Yeah, but when we talk about political literacy and introducing it in education institutions, let's backtrack a little bit beyond higher education institutions. Where does it start? Where does it begin? Like, we know that education doesn't just start in institutions. Perhaps, we cannot help but to be influenced by what happens, at home, and then we are also influenced by the previous generation. So how can the youths sort of move towards what's happening with what you said, you know, with change happening and like issues like climate crisis? A lot of people actually don't believe in this if we talk about like the older generations. So where does it begin, political literacy?
Political literacy, I think, unfortunately, it does begin with government. As much as we'd like to find different avenues and different platforms through which political literacy can be disseminated to the public, ultimately, we do need to see government policies enacted. And I'll explain why. Because when we talk about political literacy, we're not simply talking about where do we deliver it, whether it's in schools or higher education institutions. We are also talking about what are the other impediments that may be in place. For example, are there laws in place which perhaps prevent the discussion of politics or prevent the discussion of societal relationships? So inevitably, whether we look at the delivery partner or the delivery platform being a government institution or a private institution or even social media websites, ultimately, the government does bear a responsibility and a high level of control over what can and cannot be discussed in terms of political literature.
Mm-hmm. So to discuss further on how, you know, we could implement or expand political literacy in higher education institutions or even education institutions, we'll be speaking to former director of UM Consi team, Wong Karling, right after the break. So we're going to head off for a quick break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to It's About Youth. I'm Soraya Mia, speaking to Maha Balakrishnan, parliamentary consultant, and Wong Karling, who is a former director of the UM Consi team, as well as a lawyer currently. So we're actually talking about political literacy and how it can be expanded in higher education institutions. So I want to ask, the Ruko Negara studies, 2 years ago, it was suggested that should be included in the syllabus, in school syllabus. What do you think about this, anyone?
Yeah, I think in my humble opinion, I was actually part of the committee who was reviewing the Ruko Negara and other types of the citizen education alongside with other committees before the next government coming into picture. So basically what we are trying to do is that we wanted to learn from UK, Japan, whereby you will include the citizen education into your syllabus. For instance, they teach the children on how should they do their housework. So basically, it teaches someone to be responsible to your environment. So I believe that the most effective way of increasing the political literacy would be by way of education. So hence, that's why we were proposing back then. But I hope that maybe one day we can revive it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, so how could we sort of, like you say, rewrite it again? What about in higher education institutions? Now we know that the implementation of UNDI 18 highly depends on, you know, the awareness, of political awareness of the youths and the young people in Malaysia. So how can we expand? What would the best sort of syllabus look like to both of you in higher education institutions?
Well, clearly, it's very important for the syllabus to include modules that teach young people how to relate to their environment, how to be better civic partners within society. But we need to go further than that. There has to be education also about the larger political system. Just basic understanding about the issues of nationhood. What is a nation? What is a citizen? What are the rights and obligations of a citizen? What are the powers and duties of a state? And beyond that, what is our role within the region? What is the impact of our history on contemporary politics? And understanding all of that in order to be able, I think, to inform young people to be more responsible citizens, but also so that they understand what the opportunities are within the political process for them to play an effective participatory role.
Yeah, I would like to add that back then, when I was a UN Constituency Director, before the implementation of Undi 18 Bill, I was the one leading my team to go around my campus to teach people on how should you just register by just going to the nearest post office to register yourself. But as simple as that, a lot of people are not aware that the registration process only maybe take up to 3 minutes. You just have to sign up. But I think what is the real problem is that they don't know about their own rights. They don't really know about their rights under the federal constitution. They are not sure who to vote. Why do they are not sure? Because I believe that maybe most of the time we can't really learn all this from our school. Mm. I think that's why we wanted to reform our education by including the citizenship education as well as their basic rights into our syllabus. I think they shouldn't only wait until they enroll into law school, then only having the opportunities to learn about the basic rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was asking Maha previously, like, how soon should it start? Even though we're talking about, you know, higher education institutions, how soon do you think it should start introducing political literacy?
I think as simple as it is, perhaps we can start by having the roadshows. Perhaps the political leaders, you should set up some examples by having the simple policy workshop, which I was part of the Malaysian Public Policy Competition mentor this year. And some of the organisations like ICMS, as well as Higher Education Malaysia Association, there are a lot of student organisations out there doing great work whereby they can just host a workshop by just inviting the right stakeholders to teach people what is a policy. So basically right now, if we are talking about the policy, I think before we even know how to make an informed decision, we should understand what is the true meaning of having a red policy.
Mm-hmm. So now talking about syllabus, you know, syllabus of political literacy, who are the bodies that are actually responsible to you know, curate the syllabus, and how do we ensure that there are no biases how do we ensure it's accurate and independent? Anyone?
Yeah, I should take this question.
Okay, sure. In my opinion, 2 years ago, actually, we include the stakeholders like Barkhauser Committee, where they sit in the constitutional and human rights for the relevant parts of the relevant portfolios. And because of their expertise, I believe they can curate the content together with our Ministry of Higher Education as well as the Ministry of Education. The reason why I'm saying so is that I believe that as simple as having the citizenship education, it should start from small. But subsequently, when it comes to your rights and the law as well as the policy, then it should be reformed through Ministry of Higher Education. But these people might not have the right knowledge to even curate the content. Mm. Hence, I believe all the experts out there should then start volunteering yourself.
Hence, we have people yes. like Maha. What yes. do you think are the gaps in it? If you are aware of, you know, the current syllabus, what do you think? You have anything to say to that?
I'm in complete agreement that in developing a syllabus, there has to be a holistic consultation process and feeding in process, simply because the risk with political education is that of politicization. So political education itself can be politicized,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's the danger. That's the danger we face. How do we build a curriculum that is nonpartisan, that is not biased, right? And the best way of doing that is, firstly, in my opinion, to keep politicians out of the picture, and that the syllabus should be developed by public servants as well as responsible civil society groups and other stakeholders, including academic experts. And I think the main thing is to have a rigorous and very transparent process of curriculum development. And I would also say this, I think that your earlier question, Saraya, about when we should start it, well, obviously immediately. Yesterday was too late, I think. But the education should be dispensed as maths is or as geography is, you know. Start with the basic concepts at an early age and develop the complexity as a child grows, you mm-hmm. know, from primary school into secondary school and from there into tertiary education. Yeah. I don't think it's wise to start political literacy cold only at tertiary level. A lot of our young people don't go into universities, right? Yep. Or they choose different paths. So I think basic principles can and should be disseminated even at primary school. I think it's possible, and into secondary education.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I mean, like, as you mentioned, it should be disseminated like math. And it's pretty surprising how, you know, we use, or at least I personally use political literacy or the basic understanding of that more than I would even use math in the line of work that I do. And I believe that all Malaysians actually have, or perhaps agree with me, that we don't really use all of the complicated maths, but we do use or at least the basic political literacy. Just to kind of like twist it up a bit, this is on my basic understanding. You know, I want to know, where can we link politics or political literacy as well as constitutional literacy or the constitution? I understand that politics works within the constitution, or a constitution is a result of political activity. So how do we actually link this?
I think, in my opinion, constitution is the highest law of the land. Hence, it teaches you on how should you run a country. So basically, I think it can be linked to political literacy when it comes to a certain extent. For instance, your right to vote. So in a way, you wanted to educate your citizens to be more literate instead of being having a lot of blind spot on how should you vote, on the election process, and etc. Hence, you should refer to our federal constitution. And sometimes in our federal constitution, it might link to the relevant standing order, for instance, whereby the MPs might have the privilege to speak however they want in the parliament because that's their role. So things like this will be stated clearly in the constitution to teach you on your rights as an MP. Okay? Then it can be linked to political literacy is because eventually political literacy means that the knowledge that you know about the political scene, so that you can make informed decision to choose the right leader to govern the country. So it's intertwined and it's a link in between. What do you think?
Yes, a political system of any nation is linked inextricably to its constitution, if it has a written constitution or even an unwritten constitution. But I think what's important to remember is that the constitution itself obviously is supreme, but only in the sense that it is meant to reflect the political system, right? The agreed upon political system. That is not to say that the constitution can be changed or amended in a way which removes key components of a political system. So a clear example in Malaysia would be, we have a prime ministerial system, right? A parliamentary system. So there's only one election, right? So we elect members of the Dewan Rakyat, and the Dewan Rakyat, through their ability to, through the mandate of confidence, in a sense signify who the prime minister should be. In a country like the US, there are two forms of election. One for members of Congress, and secondly, the people themselves elect their president. So our political system is concretized as a parliamentary system.
Right. Now, similar to like the UK.
Precisely. Yeah. Now, can Parliament amend the constitution to create a dual electoral system where we also elect a president? Possibly not. Possibly not. So yes, the constitution is supreme, but not always.
All right.
There is a caveat. There is a caveat to that.
And I think they say that it's a basic doctrine.
Absolutely.
Concept.
And so this is something I think that's really important to clarify for the public. So coming back to the question of political literacy, right? So how do you explain that idea, right? Yes, constitution is supreme, but we also have a particular parliamentary system, right? Do we want to change it? Can we change it? How does that happen, right? So these are the sorts of, I think, understanding and level of depth that I think Malaysians need to understand.
Yeah, but before we go too deep, I feel like Malaysians just need to understand the basics of it. And I'm trying to relate it with current situations and the lack of political literacy and how it can impact our everyday lives. Like, I'm sure the both of you have heard earlier this week, there was a lot of conversations about authorities raiding a certain private event, and a lot of people were, taken up to social media, and there was a lot of misinformation, a lot of bantering about basically the law behind it. So I'm sure that the cause of this is because of misinformation. So just quickly, how do we keep it short, and how do we explain to the public on this situation?
I think we can do it by having an infographic about your basic rights. For instance, if one day somebody came into your place, you should ask, do you have an arrest warrant? Do you have a search warrant? So I think basic things like this, a lot of people are not aware. So you can easily be, you might feel nervous when somebody, especially when they are from the authority side, you will feel nervous because you are not sure about your rights. So I think we should have more infographics where I think why politics is doing a great job, whereby they spread all the information in the form of infographic. And I think a lot of other organizations are trying to do that as well. Mm-hmm. But Bar Council is also trying to do that. In fact, they do have the infographic to tell you when the police stop you, what should you do? So that you would ask about the basic things so that your rights are still protected. So again, these are the knowledge that we should try to impart towards our dearest citizens.
Unfortunately, we will have to wrap up this show today. I would love to hear more, but perhaps we can, you know, continue our conversation in the next episode. But thank you so much, ladies, for joining us on It's About Youth. My name is Soraya Mia. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you again.